Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 6 for December 12th, 2006, The Stockholm Syndrome. Net at Night is brought to you by Dell. For great laptop and desktop deals, visit the Leo's Picks page at twit.tv/Dell. Net at Night is recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. And good evening. It's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 0200 Greenwich Mean Time, and it's time for Net at Night on TalkShoe. I'm Leo Laporte from California.
I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto.
And let's begin with a little music.
From coast to coast.
I like this. This is Martinis
like
on the
too.
House, the VIP room mix from Pat Chilla, the Beat Gorilla. It's a kind of a mashup from ccmixter.org. And, you know, as with most podcasts, we can't play regular music. We can, but we'd have to pay lots of money for it.
We might go to jail.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I guess I looked into the licenses, because when we first talked about this, Amber and I thought, oh, it'd be really cool to have some music. But I looked into the licenses, and given the size of the audience we'd be broadcasting to, streaming's not that expensive. It's the podcasts, because they figure, well, you've got it saved now on your hard drive. The podcasts are very, very costly.
Like, but it's nice to use some music that people don't hear all the time as well.
I kind of like the idea of promoting it. So you can't hear it, but I'm continuing to play a little bit of it behind us as we begin here. And it's, by the way, 1 p.m. in Australia. Aussie Mike is listening from, I think he's from Sydney, and he wants us to know it's 1 p.m. So it's net at day if you're in Australia. So, Amber, we've got some links to go over. We're going to talk a little bit about James Kim, because that, of course, was the big story, not just on the net, but the news story everywhere. I just saw James and his family on the cover of People magazine, of all places. So we'll talk a little bit about him. And I think a little later on we're going to have a visit from Becky Worley, who was involved in the search and rescue mission. Becky was a longtime producer of Call for Help, and he'll join us a little bit later on to talk about that story. But we should start by mentioning that we have been featured on .boom.ca.
Oh, Leo.
I'm so proud.
Yes.
So very proud. Should we play a little bit of the clip?
Yeah, we should play a little bit of the clip.
Who are these guys?
These guys, well, it is one guy, Brian Hogg, who is in Kitchener in Ontario, and what he's done is a puppet show online that I think it's fantastic.
You featured him on Torrent, I remember.
Yeah, on G4 Tech TV just a few months ago. And the neat thing about the puppets is that they actually work in a web design firm together. And I just love that because of my background in web design. And I think any other geeks out there will really understand these puppets. And now they're a little crass, they're a little angry, but in this one episode that you're going to play, they're listening to Net at Night.
They're a little crass and a little angry, and they listen to Net at Night.
I know.
It's a good combination. This is Dot Boom.
The past is coming on.
Yeah, I mean, Colonel Sanders is a little better looking than that ready-mix.
Hey, that's you.
Hey, Mojo. We're ready to get back to it.
Revised
okay,
his outfit. He's
I'll
been
just
re-branded.
Be a moment.
So now
I'm replying to an email.
I don't know if you
okay.
Know.
What are you listening to? A podcast called Net at Night.
Future.
Have you heard it? No. They talk about an exciting new web business.
The restaurant of the future?
Is that a woman's voice?
Like Betty Crocker.
Yes.
What is it? Some sort of cross-dressing thing going on?
There are women who know about computers?
Yes, there are. And it's there's one anyway, Amber MacArthur.
It's great.
Isn't that great?
It was so much fun, and we met up with Brian Hogg, Brian McKechnie, and I from Command End on Thursday night. We went to a restaurant, and I had to go up to the people in the restaurant. It's No Regrets in Liberty Village in Toronto, and I had to say, hey, you know, we come and we shoot Command End here, our video podcast. This week we have a guest, and he's going to bring some puppets. I hope that's okay. Do you have a corner where we can go and hang out? And, you know, they were there very accommodating, and so I did a good portion of Command End with the puppets staring in my face.
Oh,
and
I can't wait.
Yeah, that should be out tomorrow, but it was great. And the neat thing is that Brian Hogg, who developed the show, he takes it so seriously. He has, I think, 36 puppets, and he has a full-time job at a web design company. But when he's with the puppets, he's picking lint off them to make sure that they look good on Command N. And it's hilarious. It just like reminds me of, you know, sort of a young Jim Henson. The guy is just completely obsessed in a fantastic way. But some of the puppets are really good. Some of them are a little more crass. And it's a great variety. So people should definitely check that out.
Puppets, there's something kind of, I don't want to say creepy because it's not exactly creepy. But there's something kind of metaphysical about puppets. It's like
masks.
There
really is.
Something comes out of the puppeteer that's obviously in his psyche, but the puppet gives him a permission to do something. You know what I'm saying?
It does. I mean, Brian Hogg is just one of the most sweet, kind of quiet guys who you'll ever meet. And then he has these puppets. And once he gets, you know, moving with the puppets, you just feel like Brian's not there anymore. Yeah. I mean, it's just the puppets. Yeah. There's a couple in particular who are a lot of fun. And, you know, he loves it. And he's so creative. And he works with a few other people as well to actually do the characters for the puppets. But, you know, it felt real. When I was sitting there with a puppet, and the puppet would look at me while I was talking, I felt a little nervous. I'm like, why is this furry thing staring at me like this?
It comes alive, doesn't it?
It really comes alive.
It's a little weird. Masks do that too. When you put a mask on, something comes out of you that wasn't there before.
It really does.
Yeah. And I remember when I studied improv, you do a lot of mask work. And the reason is you kind of get in touch with this creepy part of your psyche.
I know. That's why I like to stay away from Halloween parties.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
Everybody is crazy.
Exactly. Halloween's the same thing. It's Halloween is kind of permission to act out.
Yeah.
That's .boom.ca if you want to see that video podcast. Vixie.net has something that you're all excited about.
Yes, this was the most exciting link that I've found in a long time. It's vixy.net. And if you go to the Flash Converter, what's really cool, and I know you can do this with Firefox extensions and other programs, is that you can watch any type of clip off of YouTube, and you can automatically drop in the URL into Vixie, and then you can convert it to a bunch of different formats, including a .mov format. You can drop it into a format for your iPod. You can also create an audio-only version, and it's really simple, and I tested it out today. You just drop in the link, and then you press start to convert it. And what's cool is that if you're watching all of these videos on YouTube, you want to grab a bunch and put them on your iPod or have them on your computer to use later, you can easily just convert them just like literally in seconds.
So you showed, I remember you showed the video downloader extension for Firefox. It does basically the same thing.
It does the same thing.
Does this do a better job?
This does a better job, and you have many more options in terms of the different formats, which makes it great. So I think that I would recommend this even more so than the Firefox extension. Okay. So like I said, I found this movie on YouTube today, which was so funny. It's, I think, an ADD commercial. I think I put it link on my list of links.
Should we look at that? You want to look at that?
Yeah, the ADD Shopping Network.
Okay, we can. What's fun about this show, I don't even know if I'm allowed to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway, is that we can play stuff back. We only get the audio, but at least we can watch. This is
Hey, thanks for joining me on the ADD Shopping. Do you watch Lost? Did you watch the last episode? What the? Oh, there's my coffee.
I loved it.
Wow, that is hot. Johnny Cash wore black because he represented the working man. This is not a staple. This may look like. Check it out. Well, I wish I was more Asian. I've got one of these. Have you ever tried organic foods? They don't really make it. Two kangaroos go into a bar. It's going to kill you. This is a great hat. If you put it on, well, I'm not really a hat person. I guess I prefer dogs. Who is that? Hello? Oh, that's me.
It's even more ADD if you watch the video, because there's stuff, all sorts of stuff going on the screen, too. It's bad enough just listening to the audio, but it's very funny. You have to watch it four or five times to really get everything that happened.
I know, and the sad thing is if you get everything that's happening the first time, it really scares you because you're following along at that pace.
Nose pliers, $22. Harry Pickles, $11. Metal Butter, $5. I mean, they're selling Girl Cage, $99.95. Soul Crackers, free.
Just sometimes now when you can watch full shows where after they air on television online, what I'll do a lot of the times is I just speed them up and, you know, fast forward
do
them
you?
And I watch an hour
you're
show
so
in about
ADD.
12 minutes.
You are so ADD. So
it's your fault, Leo.
I gave it to you. It's not catching.
It did. It's contagious. All those years in the Call for Health studio working with you where I had to do 3 million things at the same time.
That's true. TV makes you ADD. Technology makes you ADD. And you combine the two,
true.
You're dead.
You're in trouble.
Were you ADD before? Yes, you were.
A little bit. Yeah, I guess so. I guess a little bit.
You can't blame me for this.
Yeah, but it got really bad when I met you. No, I'm just joking. It wasn't that bad.
No, I'm really ADD. It's true. It's really true.
I feel, again, I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but I have that feeling of sort of being uncomfortable when I'm not doing a lot of things at the same time.
Well, multitasking, yeah.
Yeah, just you want to have a lot of stuff going on, but... the web is really, really bad for that because you can just have so many things happening at the same time, as you can see by my long list of links.
It feeds your ADD. It's like it encourages you.
It does. It really does. It's like when you feed your fears, you know, this actually feeds your ADD, all the different stuff happening so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we have the show, so we can get it out there to other people, so we can distract them.
This is really an ADD podcast is what this is.
We need to get it out of our system.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The holiday season is here. And as always with holidays, you've got your amazing Christmas light displays, usually controlled from the net. You've got a couple of links here. LindsayLights.com.
Yes. I don't know if you've been here before, Leo, but this is pretty fantastic.
Oh, this is not new. They've done this before.
Yeah, they've done this before, but what's interesting is this guy actually works in my building at Citi.
You're kidding.
And I'm not sure if he works in the engineering department, but some people from work went up and did a story on him on Friday, and he lives in this house, I think just north of Toronto, and as you can see from LindsayLights.com, he has 70,000 lights this year, I think, on his house.
Oh, that's just crazy.
And he's collecting money for charity. It's crazy.
Let me play a little bit of the video on this.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to hang up on you and call you back because you're breaking up. It's happened in the past with you after about an hour.
Okay.
You just kind of break up. So I'm going to play the video and I'll call you right back while we're playing the video. This is LindsayLights.com. It's really more video than audio. I thought he'd maybe talk a little bit about it. It's pretty amazing, though, what he's doing here.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing.
He does it for charity?
Yeah, he's been raising money for charity. And I think he even if you drive up close to his house, he's transmitting audio. I don't know if he has his own radio station or something, but
right.
I know there's something
a lot of times that they do that. They'll have they'll say, tune to 540, and you'll be able to listen.
Exactly.
Wow. There are a lot of these. You remember the big hoax, of course. The guy who claimed that you were controlling the lights.
Oh, yes.
From the website.
Yeah.
And all he did is he just matched some pictures of the lights being on and the lights being off. And when you press the button, he would just display another picture. And it looked it's a pretty harmless hoax. Except that he kind of went all out. I mean, when the TV crews came out, he did faked the whole thing, you know, like it was really, oh, look, it's being done by the way. Finally, he got caught and he did a big apology. He felt terrible, he says. I think, as usual, the case is he felt terrible that he got caught.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what it did. You know, do they do in your neck of the woods? I bet PEI people do a lot of lights.
Yeah, they do a lot of PEI. There's everywhere. Leo, I'm actually hearing myself feeding back again.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. And I'm still having trouble with your Skype connection, unfortunately. You don't have anything going on in the background, do you? You're not being ADD and downloading music and playing videos while we're talking, are you?
I'm playing some videos. No, I'm not. I'm not doing anything else at all.
It could be me. Let me shut down all of my background tech, because I am ADD. I've got a lot of things running.
Prince Edward Island, definitely everybody has lights up. And even when I go home for the holidays, we always go out for a drive and look at the lights every year.
I love that. I just think it's really, you know, I think one of the reasons is that, you know, we're in the winter solstice. The night is as long as it's going to be, and we need lights to feel better.
Well, that's when we move to Sweden, though, Leo, we're going to have to.
We haven't told everybody we're moving to Sweden yet. The 4-hour day. Amber's in love with Sweden. Is that where the teddy bears come from?
Yeah, that's where that band comes from. And I'm convinced that I would just love to live in Sweden. I don't know. I think it's this, all of the great design that's coming out of Sweden. They seem so creative. They have great music. Great design firms. So I have this theory that I would love to live there.
I think you would love it. I think Scandinavia is an amazing area. Henry and I were in Stockholm a year ago, and I fell in love with it. Of course, now that's summertime. And it was warm. In fact, they were having a heat wave. It was like 80 degrees, like 30 degrees
wow.
Celsius. It was really hot. But it was beautiful. And Helsinki was beautiful. And I went to a little Swedish island, Aarhus, that it was kind of a vacation island, this old medieval walled town. It was beautiful.
And you know what? And lots of Firefox users.
Really?
In Europe.
How do you know this?
Because I saw it in Boing Boing Leo. Where all good techies go for news. There was an article on Boing Boing that says that Firefox use in Europe is up to 23% now.
Yes.
That's
Europeans, they know what they're doing. I'm going to admit something that's a little embarrassing right now.
That's why we're here for you, Leo.
Yeah, I know. This is where I come to confess. I've been installing Vista on all my machines, because part of my job, like it or not, is I have to learn about everything, including Vista. I like it a lot. And more to the point, I haven't put Firefox on all these machines. I'm using Internet Explorer 7.
I gotta go, Leo.
You don't want to be seen with me, do you? I'm embarrassed to admit this. But I like it. I like it. We'll talk more about Vista, not on this show, but we'll talk more about Vista on some of the other podcasts and certainly on my radio and TV shows. But so far, in fact, for the first time, we're recording this show now on Vista. And I do have to say one thing. Adobe Audition does not run as well or as fast in Vista. But I think that's not Vista's fault. I think it's Audition's fault. So shall we do the YouTube shuffle?
We should do it. So the YouTube shuffle, this is actually from Benjamin. He's one of my, I don't know what you call these people who you meet online and you email them.
Friend?
Yeah, I guess you could call them friend.
You call them an internet friend. My internet friends. Yeah.
I know. My internet friend. So he sent me a link to YouTube Shuffle. And this is a site where you can go. And if you're really lazy and you don't like searching around YouTube, what you can do here is you can actually submit a keyword to YouTube Shuffle, like tigers or Apple or, I don't know, maybe for you, Leo, maybe Microsoft. And then it will.
Come on now. Wait a minute. I say one good thing and that's it. I'm typecast.
I'm kidding. And it will generate 10 videos automatically. It will pull them off of YouTube for you to watch.
Somebody says I'm being paid big bucks from Microsoft to like Vista. Where is that money? Where is that check? I don't know. I don't think so. And I will continue to host Mac. I'm looking at the chat room. While we do this, by the way, I should mention we do this on TalkShoe so we can take live calls. And while we do it, there's a chat room going on.
So. Which is great because they keep you in line, don't they, Leo? As soon as you say something they don't like or, you know, they have comments. It's true, though, Leo. That feedback from an audience is invaluable.
Oh,
I mean,
fantastic.
You taught me that.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You can't get away with anything.
No, and you're right. But I'm not getting paid by Microsoft, and I call, you know, I will see. I'm going to give Vista, you know, a good, solid workout, and we'll just see how it pans out. So give me a search term, and I'll do the YouTube shuffle.
Okay.
They say search for your favorite band, but it doesn't have to be a band, right?
Why don't you search for X-Men?
X-Men. X-Men? Okay, press search. I'm going to get 10 results, and then it's playing a video already. Mm-hmm. What is that a video of? Just X-Men? What is this? What is this? It's very pretty.
None of us can see it. It's like...
It's good music, though. Sounds like U2.
Yeah.
I think it is U2, isn't it?
Yep.
And then
see the stones set in your eyes.
What's going on in the video, Leo?
The X-Men are going on in the video.
Really?
It's just a mix that somebody did of the X-Men to a YouTube song. A YouTube song. YouTube song.
Getting more confusing all the time.
A YouTube song. All right, I'm going to go to the next one. Let's see what the next one is. This is from Retro. Yeah, this is Risky. This is the original X-Men. This is the old X-Men cartoon show. That's what that is.
Oh, nice. See, yeah.
Previously on X-Men.
Could the government be plotting against mutants?
You wanted to see me, Madam President?
Stop all activities involving your privately run mutant registration program.
Madam President's on a treadmill. What is Madam President up to?
She's oh my god!
In a jumpsuit. So a lot of these are old X-Men episodes. That's kind of neat.
Isn't it neat?
So why did you suggest X-Men? Just out of curiosity.
No reason.
Come on.
It's kind of embarrassing, Leo. You did tell one embarrassing story, so I guess I could tell. I could tell this, but it's going to come back to haunt me. I know it. Well, last night I was supposed to go to a couple of Christmas parties, and because we had our company party Friday night and I was out way too late, I decided to stay home, and I actually bought X2, X-Men United, because Jenna was at her boyfriend's, and I really wanted to see this movie for a while, and so...
So you stayed home and you watched a movie.
Yeah.
Why do you, I know why you don't. You don't have to lie. I know what it's all about. You like Wolverine.
I just like the whole movie. I have to say, I'm a fan, and I actually bought it, which is
that's a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
That's the second one, not the third, because there've been three, right?
Yeah.
I liked the third one. That was pretty good. What was it? What was the story of the second one? I don't remember.
Well, it was pretty much the same story as number one.
They're mutants. Nobody likes them. We got to fight. Blah, blah, blah. Magneto blows things up. The guy in the wheelchair goes, make it so, number one. And then it's over.
And it's over. It's pretty much the same thing. Yeah, you know what? The funny thing is, it's not as though I actually went to the movie store. I just went to a little store near my house and they sold movies really inexpensively. And so it was one of these things where it was like $7.99 or something.
Did you go looking for that movie or you just were in there and you said, oh, that's a good one?
It was a weird coincidence, Leo, and let's not talk about it anymore.
Let's take a call real quickly. Becky Worley's calling in, and I really wanted to get Becky on the show. Let me add her to the conference here real quickly because, hey, Becky, how are you?
Hey, Leo, doing all right.
All
how
right.
you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm gonna see if I can add you to the conference. Amber MacArthur is on. I don't know if you've ever met Amber MacArthur.
We've existed in parallel universes for some time now.
Yeah.
I know, Becky. It's an honor to meet you. I've followed your work for a while, and I hope I get to meet you in person one day.
CES, what do you say?
All right.
I don't know if I'll get there this year, unfortunately, but I know. It's unfortunate, but where do you live?
I'm in the Bay Area, just a little bit south of where Leo is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe next time I get out there, Leo, you have to do the introduction.
Oh, I would love to. You two would really like each other.
Smart chicks in tech. We need to band together.
Smart, beautiful chicks in tech.
Ooh, nice addition, Leo.
I like you more all the time.
I don't want to be sexist or anything, but it is true.
You can't fault yourself for having great taste.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I have
That's
to
a
admit.
Good point, Becky.
I've been very fortunate in my career. Becky, for 4 or 5 years, produced Call for Help and then hosted it for a brief period.
Yes, in your absence. It was a sad day.
They replaced her with Chris Perillo, which frankly was kind of a step down, I think. And then they got rid of Chris and I came back and I'm still doing Call for Help. You know, Becky, we're going to start doing it in Vancouver, which is a little closer to home.
Maybe
you'll come up and visit us.
That's fantastic news.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Not such good news for the folks in Toronto.
Oh, no.
Terrible news for us, Leo.
Yeah.
Because we had to leave them back. But it's Call for Help 3.0. We're actually at the third revision now of this show.
That's insane.
In fact, I think we're going to change the name a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, because I want to expand it beyond just calls for help.
Mm.
It's going to be more like the screensavers. Anyway, we'll talk about that another time. Becky, besides being a good friend and a longtime Tech TV stalwart, is on today because of course, the sad news. It's been really in every newspaper, on every TV channel for the last 10 days. People have been, I'm not sure why, but people have been fascinated by this story. Of course, Becky, it's a personal story for you and me, too. Is it, you know, I went in the grocery store today and James and Katie and Penelope were on the cover of People magazine.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk among the Tech TV folks. We had a gathering on Friday night just to kind of be in the context of, you know, the community in which you knew someone. I think that's comforting. And so a lot of us got together. And one of the topics of conversation was really, you know, remembering James first, but also talking about why this story has resonated so deeply with so many people. And I think what the consensus was is that it's good people who made one wrong turn.
Yeah.
And how many wrong turns, either, you know, metaphorically or literally, have we all made and come out the other side unscathed? And that's why I think this really hits hard to a lot of people. And just obviously, good guy, good family, just not right.
I think there's more to it. I agree with you. I think that that's part of it. I think the technology angle is part of it. I think people say, you know, here we are, city dwellers who live by technology. We're so used to being always in contact. It's kind of not in our sphere of understanding that you could be lost.
Off the I-5. I mean, this is the crazy part, too, is you're thinking you're not that far from civilization.
And yet, you're an eternity away.
Right.
And I think finally the story, I think this is really probably the real reason the story is resonates, is it is a story, but it's a tragic story, but a story of real heroism. And I think our friend James just comes off as a hero. I think every dad who hears the story goes, yeah, there's a father who did the right thing.
Well, there was an editorial in the Chronicle, and the last line of it, you know, talking about what James had done and the choices he had to make and how brutal those choices were. And in the end, it said, but that's what dads do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you're a good dad, you just have that instinct that you got to do something.
Yeah. And I that's for me what resonated was, wow.
Right.
7 days, they did the right thing. They, you know, all the rules say you stay in the car, you stay with the car, you will be found.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine 7 days gone by. It doesn't, you know, you start to say, maybe we're not going to be found. What does he do? He says, well, you stay in the car because your best chance is here. I don't know if it's going to help, but I'm going to risk my life. I'm sure he knew he was risking his life. And I'm going to go out and do what I can to improve, not my chances, to improve your chances, to improve the chances of the people he cares the most about. That to me is what really touches me. Before the show, we do a little pre-show on this that we don't record. Before the show, we were there are two videos on YouTube, one of James on Call for Help and one of them on the screensavers. And in both videos, it's chilling, really. There's pictures of his family. He always showed pictures of his family.
I was talking to Han Choi yesterday, who worked with James in the lab. And, you know, he had some hard drive or some server that James had left him from the lab. And there were over 6,000 photos on there, predominantly of those kids.
Oh my
goodness.
Because,
you know, he tested all those digital cameras by taking pictures of his kids.
He was so devoted.
Yeah, and I think, you know, someone else said that, you know, they were trying to figure out in their, you know, young 20s and growing into their 30s how to be a guy in a family with a relationship, and that James had figured that out really early on, and that this friend of James was modeling his behavior in his relationship and as he was trying to start his family on the way James was in his. And that he said it was so poignant that James taught him a personal lesson about family. And in a strange twist, he probably taught millions of people about that.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, at this point in the game, we kind of have to start trying to take something meaningful away from this brutal experience for a friend. And that's one of those things.
You were one of the things I just loved that you did, Becky, is you went up there and joined the search and rescue effort.
Well, you know, it's a little strange because James wasn't my best friend, and there were a lot of people who knew him so much better than I did. But, you know, I realized that you don't know what your community is until something bad happens sometimes. And I realized there were so many people who knew James so well who had kids and full-time jobs and lived far away. You know, the Sumis, the Andrew Hans, the Han Choys, the Jim Louderbacks, who couldn't just pick up and go. And I was off last week, and I thought, I'm going to go for us.
Thank you.
And that sounds hokey and weird, but I just felt like you do what you can do.
What did you do when you got up there?
I was assigned, there was a friends and family group that had that website up, the James and Katie site.
Okay.
And so I started communicating with them and saying, where can I go? What can I do? And they assigned me the I-5 corridor between Grants Pass and Roseburg. And so I went up on the weekend and I tried to time it so that I went up to talk to the night shift folks who would have been on that graveyard when James and Katie would have come off of the I-5 and tried to cut over to the coast. So I just worked up, you know, starting around 10 o'clock at night and just tried to talk
wow.
to every shop that was open and every
wow.
gas station. And then came back down the second day and ended up interfacing with the sheriffs because they needed someone to kind of represent the friends and family in those search and rescue groups. But, you know, the takeaway for me, well, first off, the people were just incredible. You know, backwoods Oregonians, these people were super committed and worried and concerned. And, you know, that you might think that the folks in Oregon would be, the term we used to use when we lived in Seattle was caliphobic. And, you know, they weren't. They were just as concerned for the Kims as they would have been for someone from their own community. And that really impressed me.
Was watching. I mean, there was just something, as we said, about that story. Everybody was.
They were, yeah.
MSNBC had more hits on their page than they'd ever had before.
Yeah.
A million hits.
The folks at the James and Katie site, they started a fund, and originally it was intended to help with helicopters, and we hadn't talked to the Kims or anything. It was just, you know, people want to help. Let us do something. Maybe it's more cathartic for us than actually helpful. But anyways, they put this fund up with a PayPal donation button. Donations have come in from people in every state in the
wow.
U.S., 25 different countries, over 2,500 different donors.
Wow.
And things like a buck, you know, $5, up to mm-hmm. more. But I mean, just, yeah, people were touched.
What is it that people want to, there's some conflict. And I know Patrick was saying that the family is going to set up a different fund. You were at the funeral today or the memorial service today. What is the family saying?
Down to CNET.
Yeah.
I don't know what the family's saying. I know basically I think they're just going to put everything into one thing.
Okay. So it's okay to go to jamesandkatie.com and just do it there.
It's okay to do whatever, I think, and
yeah.
it's okay to do nothing. I think that, you know, it's okay to just realize that, hey, we have this amazing tech community, and that people all over the world reached out, but also that there's something that maybe because it's just such a nascent thing that all of a sudden we're all much more aware of that.
Yeah.
I think that's a positive to come out of it. And, you know, people were just telling stories about James, which is cool. You know, things like in the context of this search, someone said, God, you know, I wonder if he has a backpack. This was, you know, prior to any news about where he'd been found. And someone else said, of course he had a backpack. Have you ever seen James Kim without a backpack?
That's true. I mean, that's right.
And, you know, that kind of stuff, just it helps you to remember the person and, you know, how I was thinking about one time on Call for Help when I was hosting during the crazy 8-hour Tech Live days, and we were trying to fill so much content that we were all sprinting, trying to get our reviews done and post our articles and do the stuff on TV. And James was standing, you know, in this wide stance that he used to have when he'd stand at the terminals trying to finish his review. And the floor director was screaming, a minute, 30 seconds. And James was just trying to get the last bit of productivity out before he went on the air. And so he came running out with his music player to do the segment. And I introduced him, and I looked over to him and realized he had the biggest wad of gum in his mouth. Oh, no. And there was nothing to be done except just put my hand out right in front of his mouth and say, spit it out.
Becky was like that. Sound familiar, Amber? That sounds like probably every day at City News.
Yeah, it sounds very familiar. That's what was really, you know, interesting just last week, you know, here in Toronto. I mean, no one had ever heard of James Kim before. And everybody in the newsroom, when I was working on the story, they had all heard his story. They had all, you know, started to know a little bit more about him. And these people were, you know, everybody was affected by it, I think, more than any real news story I can remember in the past few months. People really, you know, felt for him and felt for his family. And you know, even just editing it, I was working on a story for City News International about James Kim on Thursday, and I was working with the editor, and we were both in, you know, pretty much in tears looking at these and cutting video, and it just, it's heartbreaking. But, you know, obviously, you know, just remembering the things about him, I didn't know him well or anything, but watching some of the videos and some of the stuff that he had done, it kind of warms your heart because you just, you see him smile and playing with these gadgets and laughing and showing photos of his daughters. And he just seemed like a wonderful person.
I think that's, you know, Leo, you, on your site, there was a post that I read the other day that someone said, I'm just getting the news about James and sitting here at my desk and looking at three individual pieces of technology that I bought solely on his recommendation.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, in some way, we all kind of connect on that stuff in a weird kind of geeky way, you know? And, okay, that's our community, I guess. Mm-hmm. By the way, I the whole time I drove up to Oregon to keep my brain awake, I listened to Twit.
I hope that kept you awake.
Well, you know, waiting for Brack to offend someone, it brings stakes into the experience.
Well, so we'll have to get you on Twit sometime real soon. We were going to, Becky had agreed to do a special Twit today, and but it was just too close to home, I think, for a lot of the Twits, and we really decided it'd be best not to do Twit this week.
Yeah, and those guys know James so much better, and so it's just really hard and trying to.
I mean, Patrick hired him. I mean, I asked Roger to be on, and Roger said, I don't know if I can do it without breaking up. And then he said, you know, I don't think I can. And, and Robert Herron and, you know, they all worked
every day,
side by side, shoulder to shoulder with James. So
yeah,
you're right. I mean, I like you, I know James and I love him, but I wasn't his best friend and, you know, I hadn't talked to him in a couple of years. So, but at the same time, it's hard for me to be too sad because I really feel like, knowing James, he would be happy with the knowledge that, that Katie and the kids made it. And that's really, that was what was most important, I'm sure, to him. Right down to the last few minutes of his life.
Yeah.
Just that they made it, you know?
Yeah, and that's the amazing part of this story. And in some senses, you know, one of the huge heroes here is this guy who worked for Edge Wireless, who came in on his own time and went through every log trying to cross-reference their cell phone number against all of the pings that had come out, delivering messages or just figuring out the roaming structure. He did that on his own time.
Really?
And it was really a story of where technology came to the rescue. And again, someone in that tech community who reached out.
And it did. That's what finally narrowed it down to that 26-mile radius so that they could actually find them.
Exactly. And wow. I mean, there was another guy who was stranded up there for 9 weeks and never left his car, was never found, and died of starvation. So, you know, when you question why he left or when he left.
Wow.
That puts it in context.
Yeah, no kidding.
So,
well, Becky, I'm going to let you go. I'm sure it's been a very hard day for you, but I'm really grateful to you for coming on the show.
Well, I feel like you in some senses that, you know, the upside on this is pretty high. And, you know, we lose someone who's a good guy. And I think we've all learned a lesson along the way, though. Yep. So that's the good side.
Yep. Thank you, Becky Worley. BeckyWorley.com, WORLEY.com. Hey, I got to give you the plug. You see her on Good Morning America and on the Travel Channel. Is that show, when is that show on?
That launched last week.
That's
so
exciting.
Well, you know, I'm very effusive. My friends have decided there needs to be a drinking game for every time I say, wow, you have to imbibe. So just take me out.
There are worse things you could be. So tell us, what's the name of the show?
It's called Cash and Treasures. It's on Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern. And the other gig I got going is I'm working for Yahoo Tech. So I'll be covering CES for them.
Oh, great.
Tech.yahoo.com. And it's a bunch of good guys down there, Pat Houston and Steve Enders and James Hamilton. So a lot of old TV guys. So, you know.
Well, we'll look for you on the Travel Channel and on Yahoo, their new TV channel. And maybe we'll see you soon on Twit, too, I hope.
That sounds good, Leo. I'll see you at CES for sure.
Yep.
Nice meeting you, Becky.
You
see you
too.
Later.
Take care.
Really nice to talk to her. She's just a great person. You know, I was thinking, actually, Becky stepped up to become the producer of both the screensavers and Call for Help, interestingly enough. A young woman who was going to produce it, Anna Vega, bowed out, and it turned out she was very ill. She actually passed away 1 or 2 years into Tech TV. So it's, I'm just remembering now, this is not the first time we've had a real loss in the Tech TV family. And Becky was there both times. Anyway, I don't want to bring people down, but I just thought it would be appropriate to mention that we're going to do that. Hey, do you want to do some more links, or should we start taking some calls? What would you like to do, Amber?
Why don't we take some calls, Leo? Because I'm sure there's people who've been waiting for a while. It's 9:40. Or
well, you know who's in there, and I don't know if he's. Yeah, he is. He's on the line. Should we talk to Adam Christensen? Do you know who Adam
definitely.
Is?
Of course, Adam has the Mac podcast, which we all love.
Are you slumming, Adam?
I'm hanging out, checking this out.
So this is your first time. Your first time in Talk Show?
Not in Talk Show. I've been doing Victor Cahill's show for a couple times.
Oh, okay.
But I'd pop over and check out Ned at Night. I've got him queued up on my iPod, but I have to be honest, I haven't gotten to any of the new shows yet. I kind of miss the old show.
Well, sorry, really? Oh, you can't hear him?
All right. No.
I have to push the right buttons. Now you can hear him. You miss the old show, Adam. You like the interview format.
I love the interview format, but I'm a web developer, so...
We got. I would say I got maybe half a dozen emails. I don't know if you got some too, Amber, saying, "Well, I like the old show better." And I guess what I'm thinking is what we might do is fork these. And Amber doesn't have time to do the interviews anymore. I might try to find somebody to do the interviews and continue Inside the Net as an interview show and Net at Night as whatever you call this interactive show.
I'm hearing I'm loud, so I'm going to try and. Down.
That's not you. That's nothing you can do about it. I don't think. You sound fine to me. That's the other thing. I don't know why they're saying you loud. That's another thing that this podcast is. There's two versions, really. There's the live one that you hear on TalkShoe and can listen to after the fact. And then there's an edited version that sounds very different. That's on our website. So.
We could always get people, you know, we've had people call in and we've done sort of casual interviews and chats on Net at Night as well. So I think as long as we keep doing some of that, we can get
Well, we have, you know, I mean, we've talked to many of the same kinds of people that we talked to before. Steve Chen was on Inside the Net and we had him back.
Kevin Rose. Merlin Mann.
Yeah. So I think we could probably figure out a way to do both. Amber, yeah. you don't want me to resurrect Inside the Net with some other person, do you?
I'm not letting you resurrect any shows we did together with other people. Are you noticing a trend here, Leo?
Yeah. Amber's already told me I can't have another co-host on Call for Help. And you know what? I don't think I will because I don't think I can replace her. So Adam is the host of a number of podcasts. Of course, MacCast is the best known, the first and still, I think, one of the best. I'm going to say one of because I do a MacCast now, but one of the best podcasts around Macintosh. And you do a Mac Roundtables too now, right?
Yeah, we do the Mac Roundtable podcast with a couple other different Mac podcasters, Tim Verporten, who does Mac Reviewcast, Keith Sanger from the Mac Attack podcast, and Joseph Nilo, who I think is in limbo. He used to do the Mac Pro podcast, which is like a pro video podcast, but he's working on a new show. We're not really sure what it is yet.
You know, there are more Mac podcasts than any other kind, and I think it has to be because of iTunes and the iPod, right?
I would think so. I think when iTunes hit, the numbers really, you know, with the podcasting support, the numbers really went up quickly.
And so how's your show?
Go ahead.
How's your show going, Adam?
Very well. Very well. It's, you know, just staying on top of it. And I'm actually approaching my second year anniversary, actually next week on the 13th. And fastly approaching 200 shows, and it's great. The community support that I get for the show is just awesome, and I'm really now starting to pump up the efforts on my website and blog, and got some great guys writing for me over there, and just trying to integrate everything, the web, the forum, and the podcast all together, and really just take it to the next level, I think.
You're still doing this as a hobby, though. This isn't a business for you yet.
Not yet, but it's not out of the realm of possibility at this point now. I mean, I'm looking into things. Nothing's solidified yet, but you know, that's part of doing all this. And trying to keep it different than everything else that's going on out there and give it my own take and my own spin, I think is what's really important to me at this point, is doing it well, but also doing it differently.
I think Amber and I feel the same way. It's really about the freedom to do what you want, right, Amber?
Yeah, I think it really, you know, just innovating and trying to figure out how to do things differently and also listening to the community of people who are kind of talking to us and telling us what they want. To me, that's the most important thing. I mean, when I come in on Net at Night or whatever show or segment I'm doing anywhere, half of the content and probably more is stuff that's generated by the community. It's really what other people are enjoying and listening to and visiting. So I think that's the most important thing for us.
It's a conversation.
It really is.
And we say that as people who work in mainstream, make our living in mainstream media. And so we're very clear at the difference between mainstream media and what we get to do here. I like the freedom of this, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Adam?
I was going to say, I really like what's been great about my show from the very beginning was, I was just talking to somebody about this today. I mean, I did my first show. I called it Show Zero because it was just really almost like a test show.
Yeah.
And I threw it out there, and I actually got an email back on my very first episode with somebody who had a question. And that's what kicked it all off. And just that interaction, the concept that you're able to create something that's your own and put it out there and get this instant feedback and support is what's really drawn me to this medium versus anything else. I've obviously never done anything else before, and that, I think, was kind of the hook that hooked me in and got me going on it.
It's addictive. Be careful.
Look at Leo. How many podcasts now, Leo?
I'm actually thinking of cutting back because it is out of control. You know, I have to cut back. I'm working 7 days a week, and I was going to cut out the radio show. But then when I quit, I gave the radio show my notice. I said, I'm not doing it anymore. And they said, well, what can we do to keep you? And I said, well, it's not about money. It's about getting my time back. They said, well, would it be any different if it were a national show? I said, well, I guess so. I mean, that would definitely make a difference. So we're talking about syndicating the radio show. And at that point, now I've got to say, well, I still can't work 7 days a week. So what am I going to cut out? For those who remember, the same thing happened to me with Tech TV. I was doing Screensavers Call for Help and the KFI radio show. And at that time, I stopped doing the Screensavers, which is a hard thing to do, to say, I'm not going to do the most popular thing I'm doing. But sometimes you just have to do that. You have to choose.
Well, national would be great, though, wouldn't it, Leo? I mean,
it would be the largest audience. It would be an audience of millions. So it's an opportunity to reach more people. So ultimately, I have to choose that as much as I'm always going to do I promise you Net at Night. There are other podcasts I would probably stop doing, though. Some of them are more work than others. Do you ever consider that, pod fading, Adam? Do you ever think of I just want to give up?
Yeah, it's always in the kind of in the back of your mind, because I think a lot of people, to our own detriment as podcasters, we've made it sound like it's such an easy thing to do, and you just plug in a mic and you start talking. But it's behind the scenes, it's really not that easy. Yeah. It takes a lot of work and effort to keep it going. And yeah, you absolutely find yourself just saying, oh, you know, how do I keep this going? And, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, not wanting to see the monetization of podcasts. But again, I was talking to this person earlier about it today, and it's not what they have to understand for podcasters like myself is it's not about getting rich or making a ton of money for me. It's about being able to have the time that I want to devote to the show, right, to make it better, to make it the experience I want to give to people, and to be able to have the time to do it. It's really about enabling me to have the time to do it. And so if it can pay for itself, it means I get to work on it more. Otherwise, yeah, I have to work a day job like so many podcasters do, and that divides your time. Your time's divided. So obviously, if you can pour your heart and soul 100% into something, it's going to be that much better. So I just kind of think my audience to say, you're obviously happy with what I'm doing now, and you like what I'm doing now. Imagine if my full attention was on this, which it isn't right now. So how much... Yeah. Better it could even potentially be. It's hard to even think about that because I'm really happy with how the show is now. But that gets me excited too. So that kind of keeps me going as well when I start to think about, oh, if I just give up. But then I just think, you know, just around the corner, this thing, we're going to figure this model out, and we're going to figure out how to make this thing work. And I don't want to miss that when that happens.
It's interesting, too. I don't know how you guys feel, but if I have those weeks where, you know, I've had a long day at work and I have to go out and shoot command N, you know, I struggle sometimes because I think, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this anymore. Maybe I should slow down and not be working evenings. But then at that very moment that I'm thinking that, I'll get an email or a comment on my MySpace account from like some kid in Norway or, you know, somewhere overseas, or it could be in Ontario, wherever it might be, who says, hey, I love your work. And to me, that's the motivation. And that's kind of what keeps me going. It's just like one person here and there who seems to email at the appropriate time where I'm thinking that it's too much, that you just feel like, you know, there's so many people out there enjoying it and you want to just keep doing it.
That's what I said when I was warning you about, when I said it's addictive. That's the hook. That's the heroin that keeps you in the business, right?
It is like heroin. I mean, I've never done heroin, but I imagine it's like that.
Well, take it from me, you little girl. It's just like heroin.
Oh, boy. I'm going to regret all of a sudden, I don't like live anymore. It is just heroin.
It's nothing like heroin. Well, I wouldn't know. But it is actually, it is the payoff, isn't it? And I'm with Adam. It's not about making, well, it could be about making a lot of money, but it really more is about choices that you have to make. I've got a family. I've got two other jobs and I've got 16 podcasts. I can't do it all. So at some point you have to make choices. And frankly, you got to pay bills. You got to pay the rent. You know, you have to pay for Dane. So at some point, you have to make the decision to do the thing that makes you money as opposed to the thing that you do just for fun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it'd be nice if we could all just do our hobbies.
It sure would.
But there seems to be a group of people who think we should just do this for free. I'm not sure why.
Yeah. I don't know what they're thinking. Unless we all live together in a commune or something and, you know, grow our own food. I don't know how else.
Well, and you know what? You say that in jest, but really, I think that's the spirit of it, isn't it? It's the feeling that we should all be hippies.
Yeah, I get that feeling a lot. I mean, especially with a lot of people that we've interviewed on Inside the Net and even, you know, on Net at Night, there's really this really strong community feeling among everybody who's out there podcasting or building web companies, that you just feel if all of us lived in the same city, it would be disastrous in many ways. Because
you called yourself an internet
with.
Hippie, and I think that that's, I would say that too. I mean, I grew up in the 60s, and that is kind of my underlying core value, is this kind of communal give it away spirit. But, you know, so I'm with you on that one. If we could figure out a way to do this, it was always my dream. Still is in a way my dream to create kind of this. They did it. Silver Orange did it in PEI to kind of create this house where everybody could go and work.
Oh, yeah, they did. That's a web design company in Charlottetown. And they opened up this house called the Queen Street Commons, where they bought this old house. And then everybody pays, I think, $30 a month. And you can go there and you can, you know, jump on wireless. You can use the printers. And it's this beautiful space where the idea is that anyone working kind of in the web community or any other type of industry can go there. And it's just a meeting place where all those people, you know, exchange ideas and brainstorm.
I love
it. It's wonderful, you know, and it really works there.
I have this fantasy.
Can work there, it can work anywhere.
Yeah. I have this fantasy. We have an old Carnegie Library here in town. It's just a beautiful old building. And right now it's kind of the historical museum, but I would like to buy it and turn it into that, turn it to out of a, what I always thought was not a web design center, but a user-generated content center with studios and cameras and everything you'd need. And then just people could come in and create their vision, you know? Anyway, that's
a
big fantasy. Hey, Adam, I'm really glad
that... That's a panacea, Leo.
Well, okay, you know, I'm a utopian.
For podcasters, at least, it sounds great.
All right.
Sign me up.
Would you move to Petaluma if I had such a thing, Adam? We do all the work,
yeah.
You just come in and record.
Yeah, I was actually... We're drinking Petaluma beer here now.
Which one, Lagunitas?
Yes.
Yep. Really? They got it out there? You're in D.C., right?
No, I'm in San Diego.
You're in San Diego. Why do I think you're in D.C.? I don't know why. Well, I'm glad you can get Lagunitas down there. Adam, I'm going to let you go because we've got to take calls from our listeners.
Yeah, I got to run.
It's so good to talk to you.
Yeah, always great talking to you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at Macworld.
Yeah.
Hey, Amber, are you going to be there?
I don't think I'm going to be there this year. It's the year of Amber not at conferences.
I offered to pay for her way, everything, and she turned me down.
I don't have any time off work, but
she just started a new job.
I just have to endure that for the next few months. And then, like I said, the first conference I want to get out to is South by Southwest, which is in March. So If you're there, Adam, I will see you there. If not, I will see you at Macworld next year,
Adam
2008.
Adam are hanging at Macworld. It's his first Macworld. Can you believe this?
Oh, yeah, can you believe that?
The guy who does MacCast has never been to Macworld.
You got to go. It's good times.
He sent me a note saying, well, what parties should I go to? It's, you know, they're out there. It's not like CES where there's these great parties, but it is fun. And you will be on, I hope, our special Mac Break Weekly on Monday, right after the keynote.
Yeah, I'm driving up that day, so I might be a little tired, but I'm going to try and get there.
I'm always tired.
Anyway,
no excuse. It'll be, I think, 6 o'clock at the Apple store, so come by.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Leo. Thanks, Amber.
You're welcome.
Yeah, see you later, Adam.
MacCast.com is the place to go to hear Adam's incredible podcast. If you're a Macintosh fan, it's a must-read. Amber, you want to take some phone calls?
I think we should definitely take a couple before we wrap up.
I feel bad. I know people got, you know, called in for 2 hours ago to be on the show. And one of these days, maybe next week, maybe the week after, we'll do just an all-call show.
Maybe New Year's Eve, Leo.
Should we announce that?
Yeah.
We're not going to midnight, though.
No, just an hour, but we can do it in the evening.
We're going to do a special New Year's Eve show. Amber, I guess she didn't get a date. I don't know. But we're going to do a... I'm just teasing.
No, you're not. Anyway, continue.
Well, I don't have a date, so I'm going to do the show. And Amber, well, we'll get you out of here by 10 o'clock. It still gives you 2 hours to have a great time.
To find a date.
No. Don't. If you say that, you're going to get a lot of invitations. New Year's Eve in Toronto is probably a great time. But so we'll do our regular Net at Night on December 31st. It will be our New Year's Eve show. We'll have some special fun on that. Let's say hi to Randy South. Hello, Randy South. I know I'll take some calls, and you're the first. Welcome to Net
Hello,
at Night.
Leo and Amber.
Hey, Randy.
Hello, Randy.
This is the second time you've taken my call. Hooray.
Yeah, and don't count on a third time, dude.
Oh, man.
I'm just teasing.
You hung up on me last time before I could ask
you. Oh, no.
I didn't. Yeah. This is like every good talk show host. I know when to put the guest on mute. So what's your question this time?
Oh, gosh. Well, Amber, how are you liking City TV so far?
It's been great. You know, I've been there actually, I guess it will be 3 months tomorrow, believe it or not. And I don't know about you, but I think after you get over the hump of 3 months at a job, things start to kind of, you know, go a little more smoothly. And I'm at that point now where it's been fun. And I'm working on my own show that's going to start in January. And it's going to be a weekly half hour show. And I think I'm excited about that more than anything, because I just have so many things to talk about that a minute 30 a day is just, you know, it's killing me, man. I'll start more podcasts if that's all I have.
Yeah, how do you survive on a minute 30 a day?
Well, have you looked at my blog or the list feed? It's going crazy, you know. That's just like there's so much more happening than that.
I will say one thing that Amber probably won't say, which is that they love her at City TV, and that she is really a star there. And I think that's neat. I'm glad that you went somewhere where people valued what you were doing.
Yes, they've been great to me. So it's been fun. You know, I'm going to keep doing City News International every day and do a half-hour show as well. So we've been meeting about that. We have another meeting tomorrow, and okay. I think that show is going to be a lot of fun.
Popnology.
Yes, we're debating the name right now. We might change it.
I like Popnology. Don't let them change it.
No, it's not them. I think we were going back and forth. I'm thinking about doing a survey with the people, with the community, and let them decide because, again, being an internet hippie, that's the way we do things now.
All right, peeps, you vote. Robotech Master, welcome to Net at Night. Where are you calling from?
Thank you very much, Leo. This is my first time calling in. I just want to say how much I enjoy your show. I wanted to mention a website. It's a podcast that I think they're doing something really neat with podcasting that I haven't seen too many people do before.
Mm-hmm.
The URL is secretworldchronicle.com. And in the interest of full disclosure, it's run by a friend of mine, a couple friends of mine, but I think it's a very interesting and worthwhile podcast.
What's making it so unusual?
What they're doing is they're taking an unpublished novel that they have and putting it out as a serialized podcast to build publicity for if they should eventually be able to get someone to publish the novel. And it's really good writing, too. It's a sort of a superhero in the modern-day world story.
Actually, there's nothing that's not new. Scott Sigler did that very early on and got a publisher as a result. I don't know if you met Scott, but a neat guy. ScottSigler.net. Earthcore is the name of the series, and now he's doing a new one. So that's a really neat idea. So Secret Chronicle, what was it? Secret? Oh no, I've forgotten it.
Secret Chronicle Oh, I just had it too, Leo.
We're too ADD.
Secretworldchronicle.com.
That's it, secretworldchronicle.com. Moda, welcome to Net at Night.
Hey, Leo. I'm calling from sunny Brisbane, Australia.
Love Brisbane.
Yeah, it's hot. Very hot.
It's summertime in Australia. How hot is hot?
Not very hot at the moment. 25 degrees.
Oh, that's not that hot.
It will get hot in a couple of weeks. It'll get really hot.
Sounds perfect.
Leo dot me, Leo. I listen to all your shows.
Thank you.
I got an iPod purely because Twit. I love you.
I love you too, man.
Leo, he wants you to adopt him. What do you think?
I want to move to Brisbane if he'll take me. We want to thank you for listening to Net at Night and remind you that, of course, Net at Night, like all the Twit podcasts, is brought to you by the good folks at Dell. Dell's where we get our hardware. I'm loving my new Dell M1210 XPS laptop. Ooh, is that a slick device? Ooh, baby! And Vista runs beautifully on it. Look, if you're looking for a new laptop or desktop, may I ask you a favor? Check out the Dell picks at twit.tv/Dell. Got some good systems on there. If you don't see what you want, though, click any of the links and go to the Dell page, browse around. Anything you buy after that reflects well on Twit. And we appreciate your support, and we thank Dell for their support of the Twit Podcasting. I'm sorry, Netcasting Network. Now on with Net at Night! I can't believe we're out of time! This show goes too fast, Amber MacArthur. We're going to come back and do it again next week. And don't forget a special New Year's Eve edition. I'm Leo Laporte from California.
And I'm Amber MacArthur in Toronto.
And we're going to open up your mics and you can tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and say good night from Net at Night.
Good night.